Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 87 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Joshua Grandison.
Kentucky, in this latest quarter survey, somehow has fortunately been able to reduce its average cost by about 3%.
Dan Smaldone of the Kentucky Farm Bureau says Kentucky consumers are getting a pretty good deal in the supermarket these days.
A federal appeals court has overturned the convictions of 8 people accused in an Eastern Kentucky vote-buying scheme.
And a Kentucky congressman introduces a plan to improve literacy.
In sports, it's media day in the SEC.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
A heat advisory remains in effect until 6 o'clock tonight, otherwise hot and humid with a low near 70 degrees. The complete weather forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
A federal appeals court has overturned the convictions of 8 southeastern Kentucky people sent to prison for taking part in what prosecutors described as a massive vote-buying scheme. The U.S. 6th Circuit Court of Appeals today ordered new trials for former Clay County Circuit Court Judge Cletus Maracle, former school superintendent Doug Adams, and 6 other defendants. Judge Karen Nelson Moore ruled that U.S. District Judge Danny Reeves allowed jurors to hear some evidence that should not have been admitted and erred in his handling of transcripts of secret tape recordings that an informant made during the FBI investigation.
A Bath County man has been arrested in connection to a nearly 15-year-old murder case. Keith Wilson of Owingsville was taken into custody yesterday after it was discovered he was wanted for first-degree murder in a Florida town. The alleged victim is 4-year-old Pilar Rodriguez, who was reported missing in January 1999. The Kentucky State Police were contacted by the Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, which requested the KSP arrest Wilson. He is currently lodged in the Montgomery County Regional Jail, awaiting extradition.
Kentuckians are getting a pretty good deal at the supermarket these days. That's according to the latest Market Basket survey conducted by the Kentucky Farm Bureau Federation. The KFB's Dan Smaldone says average retail food prices in the Bluegrass actually dropped more than 3% in the second quarter compared to last year.
What we are certainly wanting people to know is that the prices have decreased, and we should certainly take advantage of them while we can. All signs are pointing towards increasing growth in the future. The USDA is forecasting overall a 2-4% increase in price for the year.
Smaldone says the KFB surveys prices in 6 food groups to compile its cost comparison. They are beef, dairy, fruits and vegetables, grain, pork and poultry. He says dairy showed the largest decrease of 6%.
Congressman Andy Barr says 54 consecutive weeks of unemployment over 7.5% and 5 straight years of declining wages have convinced him there are serious flaws in the nation's fiscal policy. The Lexington Republican made the observation today at Federal Reserve Board Chairman Ben Bernanke during a hearing in Washington. Even though the Fed has kept interest rates near zero for the past 4 years, Barr says 3/4 of the country is still living paycheck to paycheck.
Given the persistent high unemployment, it seems to me that American families who are struggling, many of whom are in my district in eastern Kentucky, I think they justifiably have to ask themselves, given the expansionary policy that you have pursued quite aggressively and to your credit, there's got to be a fiscal policy problem here.
Barr offered his comments at a meeting of the House Financial Services Committee, where Bernanke was delivering his semiannual report on monetary policy.
American Stave Company continues to take steps toward getting its new plant in Rowan County up and running. Brett Traver is the executive director for the Moorhead-Rowan County Economic Development Council. He says the barrel manufacturer recently took a key step as it prepares to build at its planned site along Cranston Road.
They've hired an engineer now, and that engineer is working on the design of their log yard. They need to build a large pond and design their log yard and then make some determinations on the size and the layout of their mill.
American Stave is expected to break ground later this summer. Initial plans call for its Rowan County plant to open by the middle of 2014 with 40 to 45 workers expected to be hired at that time.
The renovation of Morehead State University's Westmanon Hall is nearly finished. The $5 million project on the 49-year-old dormitory began a year ago. Terry White is MSU's construction manager and is overseeing the project. According to him, workers are doing a final cleaning of the building's rooms.
State building inspector is supposed to be here Monday to give us a certificate of occupancy. The furniture starts arriving next week, and over the course of the next 2 weeks, they'll be stocking all the rooms and assembling the new beds, the new wardrobes, new desk and chairs also will be placed in every room. There'll be four to a room. So it's getting wrapped up.
White says in addition to all the work on its individual living spaces, Westmanon received a new lobby and entrance area, a new heating and cooling system, and had its facade bricked. The residence hall, which first opened in 1964, will again house nearly 200 MSU students when it reopens for the 2013-14 school year in mid-August.
Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth has introduced legislation designed to better prepare students for the 21st century economy. The Jefferson County Democrat calls his bill the Literacy Education for All, Results for the Nation Act.
The LEARN Act provides a strong federal investment for states and localities to develop and implement comprehensive literacy plans for children from birth through 12th grade.
Yarmuth says literacy is the foundation for success in every aspect of our economy and society. He says his legislation calls for key federal investments to help ensure today's students are prepared for the workforce of the future and to compete in a global economy.
Four early childhood councils in eastern Kentucky are among the organizations across the state receiving a share of more than $1 million in grants to help prepare students for school. The recipients include programs in Mason, Fleming, Floyd, and Montgomery counties. Maysville Community and Technical College professor Kathleen Mellencamp serves on the Mason CECC.
With this year being readiness, we will also center all of our activities on readiness activities for the children and things and ideas for parents to take home with them to do at home. And we have door prizes, free food. It's a free night. Our homemakers help out.
Mellencamp says the Mason CECC is getting nearly $10,000. In all, 58 Kentucky organizations are receiving funds from the Governor's Office of Early Childhood.
Republicans and Democrats in Kentucky appear to agree that the state needs to overhaul its tax system, but getting the job done will be complex and difficult. Senators and state representatives from both parties discussed the issue this week on KET's Kentucky Tonight. Republican Jeff Hoover is minority leader in the Kentucky House. He's no stranger to tax reform efforts.
In 2005, when Governor Fletcher attempted to do some tax reform, and we did do some tax reform in 2005, I was a primary sponsor of that legislation in the House that ultimately was signed by him into law. We do need to do tax reform.
Hoover says Governor Beshear needs to take the lead on the issue. He claims the Democrat has been virtually silent since his tax reform commission made its recommendations to lawmakers last December. State Senator Gerald Neal was a member of the governor's Blue Ribbon panel. The Louisville Democrat insists Beshear has shown leadership on tax reform, but there's a long way to go.
When you make changes in the way you have tax or fiscal policy, you are affecting somebody. Someone feels like they're having something taken away from them, or they're receiving some burden, and someone else feels that they're a benefit. When you start thinking like that, then it's difficult to make change in this situation, because then it lines up politically and ideologically, and you can't move anywhere.
Neal also appeared on KET's Kentucky Tonight.
Property owners across the Commonwealth will once again pay just over 12 cents for every $100 in land value. So a homeowner with a $100,000 house would pay $120 in property tax next year. The property tax rate is set by the State Department of Revenue, and policy advisor Tom Crawford says the tax rate's been constant for several years.
The last 4 or 5 years, the state rate has remained the same, because we have entered a period of time where real property values were flat or in some counties very slowly increasing, and in other counties we actually had some assessment decreases. So overall, the real property assessments have not increased by anywhere close to 4% in the last 4 or 5 years.
With property values up in Kentucky, state law prohibited any change in the property tax rate. The property tax rate remains fluid, allowing for some adjustment by state officials. The adjustments prevent wild swings in property taxes collected by the Commonwealth.
U.S. Senator Rand Paul has joined a bipartisan effort in support of a bill that would take sexual assault complaints in the military outside the chain of command. The Kentucky Republican spoke at a press conference in Washington Tuesday.
I'm concerned, you know, about justice, and I want it to occur in the military for the victims as well as potentially those accused. Justice is very important to me, both for the accused and the victim. I'm concerned that victims of assault, though, may be deterred from reporting their assault if they have to report it to their boss.
Paul says sexual assault is not a partisan issue and should not be treated as such. He's backing legislation that calls for independent military prosecutors to handle allegations of sexual assault.
Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner James Comer says there's no need right now for any Republican to enter the governor's race. Comer, who is often mentioned as a potential GOP candidate, says the contest is not until 2015, so there's plenty of time to make a decision. He spoke with Insight Cable's Pure Politics. He thinks a Republican with the right message has a good chance.
I think a good Republican candidate that speaks a message of growth and opportunity, one that's not a partisan type candidate, one that wants to work with Democrats on issues that they agree on, I think that kind of Republican candidate will have a lot easier time raising money than an average Democrat candidate.
Comer is 40 years old. The former state representative from Monroe County is serving his first term as Kentucky's agriculture commissioner.
Road crews will be closing exit 156 on I-64 in Olive Hill today and tomorrow between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., weather permitting. District 9 spokesman Alan Blair says the closure is so road crews can safely remove old blacktop and apply new asphalt on each ramp.
It is weather dependent, so if there is some bad weather, that could delay that. If there is a delay, the paving could also occur on Friday, and as well as the ramp closure. During the ramp closures at exit 156, we're asking everybody to detour using exit 161.
And that is District 9 spokesman Alan Blair.
The Foothills Eco Agritourism Organization will host its fourth annual summer conference soon. The goal of the event is to support the expansion of local tourism and promote small business growth in eastern Kentucky. The conference will take place at Elliott County High School in Sandy Hook on July 30th and 31st. Feed Director Gail Clevenger says the event will feature a wide variety of presentations and entertainment.
We'll be having local people entertain, singers, etc. We'll be having a Small Business Development Corporation bring their people in to talk to our people. We'll be having people like Pam Hedge, who is editor of All Things Country, and they will talk about how they got into business, how they started their business, what problems they had, etc.
Admission for the conference is $25. The event is free for existing FEET members. For more information, you can call 606-356-2640. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the cities of Ashland, Inez, and Winchester. There is a heat advisory in effect until 6 o'clock this evening, and this afternoon calls for partly cloudy and humid temperatures with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms with highs in the lower 90s, highest heat index readings between 95 and 100 degrees. Tonight will be partly cloudy and muggy, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, lows in the lower 70s. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy and humid again, with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the lower 90s. Currently in Ashland and Lexington, it is 92 degrees. It is 88 degrees in Flemingsburg, 81 degrees in Winchester, or Inez, rather. And currently in Moorhead, it is 87 degrees.
It is 4:44 on our feature segment this afternoon, Farm to Table. That's the motto being adopted at the Derrickson Agricultural Complex, better known as the MSU Farm. Faculty, staff, and students are in the field picking blueberries, raspberries, and blackberries that are now being used here on campus at dining facilities. David Patrick from MSU's Office of Communications and Marketing caught up with Farm Manager Joe Fraley and Horticulture Supervisor Amy Lentz and files this report.
Here at the University Farm at the Derrickson Ag Complex, one of the goals that we have, David, is to provide farm fresh produce, anything from grapes to blueberries, blackberries, raspberries to sweet corn, all types of garden production. We are a Kentucky proud farm, something that we take great pride in as to offer fresh products to the community.
It is a very rewarding thing here we have with our berry production and our fruit and vegetable production. You know, the students really get a hands-on feel of how agribusiness works from start to finish.
Picking berries is serious and fun business for agriculture students. Zach Clymer is a horticulture major from Demossville, Kentucky.
Picking blueberries is a team effort. Half the farm comes out and picks. One guy will unload the net, take it off the bushes while other people pick berries and trim up the weeds behind it. A lot of work goes into picking blueberries every year. This is our third picking. We have 800 bushes out here. It's very rewarding. I love it. I hope one day make a profession. In the season, with the first picking, we got 26 gallons. Second picking, we got 24 gallons. And third pick, we'll probably get up close to 23 or 24 gallons.
Everybody loves our berries. They taste great. We do a lot to take good care of them and make sure that we keep the pests away so that we have really high quality produce.
Buy local is a big push right now. And with the support of our university administration and campus, one of the things that we have done is to incorporate Aramark into using some of the farm's products. Anything from dinners that Dr. Andrews may have to where students may purchase food, faculty may purchase food.
Once berries are picked, many make their way to campus dining facilities. Morehead State Executive Chef Richard Thompson is more than happy to receive fresh berries straight off the vine.
You know, as a new chef here and having agriculture program here, it's a great idea and something that we can build on as a food producing kitchen. We love to use fresh products. We love to have everything right here at our fingertips. The products are A1. For instance, we just did a function a few weeks ago when we used the fresh raspberries and the blueberries, and I think we turn heads with those items, you know. Just having those the freshness, freshly picked that same day and using it on the plate was very unique.
Morehead State University Agriculture, providing fresh fruits and other produce straight from farm to table. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm David Patrick.
It is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock. Chase has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided in part by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. Each day, around 2,000 vehicles are made at the Georgetown plant. A factory tour gives you an insightful look at what goes into building the Avalon, Venza, and Camry. You can ride a guided tram car and see the process from start to finish, including a glimpse of giant cold-rolled steel coils that automatically presses shape into doors, hoods, and roofs. Tours are Monday through Friday, and reservations are highly recommended. ToyotaGeorgetown.com.
A preview of the Southeastern Football Conference happened today. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. Football time in the Bluegrass got started today with head coach Mark Stoops, linebacker Avery Williamson, running back Raymond Sanders, and defensive end Dante Rumpf all addressing the press in Birmingham, Alabama at SEC Media Days. The biggest buzz around the football program and the SEC is how Mark Stoops has put together the number one or two recruiting class in the nation for the 2014 season. Coach Stoops puts it pretty simple. He says he is just truthful with the recruits about the program.
We're just very honest with those recruits and tell them exactly where we're at. We're not hiding anything. They come in and watch practice and see where we're at and know the year we had last year and so on. The big thing is for them to come in and see what we're doing and where we're going and how we're going to get there. You come in and they get to know our coaches and get to know our players, see what we're doing, spend time with us, and then they make their decision. So we're going to continue to do the same things we've done.
The television schedule was released yesterday for the first three games on the Cats' schedule. It will be highlighted by the Governor's Cup battle with Louisville, which is slated to be on ESPN once again at noon on September 14th. Another storyline from SEC Media Days was all the questions surrounding last year's Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Johnny Manziel of Texas A&M. Manziel has been heavily criticized this week after he was late to Friday meetings and a no-show on Saturday this past weekend at the Manning Passing Academy. Many rumors are swirling around, but today he got to tell his side of the story to the national media.
The main thing was missing the meeting. It wasn't anything due to the night prior. It wasn't anything involved in that. It was just simply phone died, overslept, woke up the next morning. Whenever I did, went and talked to them, and it was kind of a mutual decision to get home and get some time to relax.
Manziel is a front runner to claim the Heisman Trophy again this season. The 6'1", 200-pounder speedster threw for 3,706 yards and rushed for over 1,400 more. He was the only quarterback in the country to finish in the top 25 in both passing and rushing. One publication has named five Morehead State players to its preseason All-Pioneer Football League squad. Running back Reese McShera and linebacker Jordan Hendricks are on the first team, while offensive lineman Calvin Harrington, defensive end Aaron Meadows, and safety Mike Jackson are on the second team. McShera is a junior who became MSU's first 1,000-yard rusher since 2000 last season. He knows he'll be counted on to be a leader for the Eagles' offense this year.
I feel like people have looked to me like that. I try to lead mostly by example, doing the right things on the field. I'd like to be a little more vocal in the upcoming season and try to help some guys out on offense that need it.
The MSU football team will report to Jane Stadium for preseason practices on August 4th. Rowan County's football team won't lack for quality ball carriers this fall. While he continues to mull over his choices at quarterback, Coach Kyle Singleton says the Vikings will have plenty of talented running backs to help take the pressure off their new signal caller.
Definitely, you know, with returning Michael Lambert, Keontae Moore, and, you know, Tristan Hamrick, all three of those guys have started a ton of games and ran the ball for quite a few yards in years past. So, you know, they got a lot of experience with that and, you know, can become their best friend if they're, you know, holding on to the ball and we're doing our job up front. I think he can definitely alleviate a lot of the pressure we would put on a quarterback.
Moore, Lambert, and Hamrick last season combined to rush for nearly 1,100 yards. After going winless in 2012, Wes Carter's football team lost only seven seniors to graduation, but Coach Kevin Brown says he'll have a young group again this season. In looking at the Comets' 2013 roster, Brown notes they will have just seven seniors once more. However, that doesn't mean they'll lack for players with varsity experience.
You know, our last game last year, we went up to Boyd County and we started six freshmen on offense, four on defense. So, you know, they've got experience. And the guys that are coming back, the older guys, the juniors and seniors, they've played a lot of football. So hopefully, you know, it'll be a better mix. And like I told them, you know, we have nowhere to go but up after last year.
Wes Carter will be looking to beef things up on both sides of the ball this season. The Comets scored only 13 points a game last year while allowing 33 an outing. There's no Major League Baseball this evening as the All-Star break continues. This year's break is lasting 4 days, and play will not resume until Friday. In case you missed it last night, Mariano Rivera was named the MVP of the All-Star game as the American League won 3-0. The Lexington Legends are back on the road tonight after a much-needed day's rest. The Legends will be in Georgia to square off with the Rome Braves. The Legends currently boast the top record in the South Atlantic Southern League at 14-9, while the Braves sit on the opposite end of the spectrum at 10-14. Lexington will have Christian Benford on the mound, who holds a 5-4 record, while Rome will counter with Jason Hirsch, who has a clean slate at 0-0 for the year. First pitch is set for 7 p.m. And finally, the Morehead State soccer team won't be able to get onto its new practice field when its players report for preseason camp in a few weeks. Coach Warren Lipka says work on the field, which is being constructed behind the Academic Athletic Center, is still a long ways from being ready.
Unfortunately, we've had one of the wettest springs and summers in a long time. We have record, you know, rain amounts, and whenever that happens, it sets your project back. But, you know, I just had a meeting last week, and they said I think we're looking somewhere around the end of September to the beginning of October for us to get on there.
In addition to giving the MSU soccer team better practice times during the week, the new field will also be available for the school's students to use for intramurals. That's a look into the world of sports. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Morehead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single game tickets for football. Single event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Chairman Ben Bernanke of the Fed reiterated Wednesday that the Federal Reserve will keep its stimulus policies in place for as long as necessary, and investors are starting to get the message. The yield on the 10-year Treasury bond edged lower as a result, after Bernanke told lawmakers that the Fed's $85 billion per month bond buying program is by no means on a preset course. And the Dow Industrials did manage to finish with a small gain of 18.67 at 15,470.52. The S&P 500 was up 4.65 at 1680.91. The NASDAQ Composite, the strongest of the major indices, as it finished up 11.5 at 3610. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 19-10 positive. Gold was down 1.25%, while oil was up 0.8%. And as mentioned, the bond market strong with the 10-year Treasury, finishing with a yield of 2.49%, so down certainly from recent high yields on the 10-year. The bond buying, or I should say, the chairman rattled global markets, of course, in May when he said the Fed could decide to taper its bond buying at one of its next few meetings, and the Fed stimulus measures have kept the markets awash with liquidity and helped spur recent stock market highs. And as such, the chairman's comments today helped soothe markets' nervousness over the potential for these higher rates down the road. The number of new homes breaking ground in June fell 10% from May, according to the Commerce Department. And meanwhile, applications for building permits, which are considered a leading indicator for new home construction, fell 7%. Both figures were worse than expected. Shares of Bank of America, or I should say B of A, Bank of America, released its second quarter results before the opening bell, reporting a 63% surge in quarterly profit to more than $4 billion, and the stock was very strong today. Shares of Mattel fell after the toy maker said earnings fell in the second quarter on charges and strategic investments. Yahoo shares rose after the company reported a jump in profit, though quarterly sales fell slightly short of Wall Street's expectations. CSX shares were strong after the rail company reported quarterly results that beat expectations, and results are due after the close today from IBM, Intel, and eBay, among other larger companies. European markets finished higher overnight, while Asian markets closed with mixed results. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.11 at $86.07, CSX up 46 cents at $25.10. AEP down 14 cents at $47.09, AK Steel unchanged at $3.34, Marathon Petroleum down 18 cents at $69.75, and U.S. Bank Corp was down 53 cents to finish at $36.74. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU East Kentucky Small Business Development Center, serving 54 counties throughout Appalachian Kentucky to encourage manufacturers, wholesalers, and service providers to export products and services beyond the Kentucky region. Based at the Small Business Development Center in Paintsville, the Export Initiative seeks to market Kentucky to the world. More information at 606-788-7272, online at moreheadstate.edu/sbdc.
And taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. The area is currently under a heat advisory until 6 o'clock tonight. And this afternoon's forecast calls for partly cloudy and humid conditions with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the lower 90s, highest heat index between 95 and 100 degrees. It's currently 92 degrees in Ashland, 88 degrees in Flemingsburg, 81 degrees in Inez, 92 degrees in Lexington, 88 degrees in Winchester, and 87 degrees here in Morehead.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Mike Williams, Tanner Boyd, Chase Johnson, Chase Scott, Sam Steyer, Caleb Noe, and Arlo Barnett. David Patrick from MSU's Communications and Marketing Office did our feature this afternoon. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at msuradio.com. For Joshua Grandison and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.